You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. It is another episode of Gunapod TT. This is your boy Dion, and I'm here with none other than the always illustrious Keegan Bowen. Keegan, say what's up, man.
What's up, Gunas? What's up? Are you ready to talk about my side? I'm excited to talk about my side today.
Before you talk about your side, we talk about the way that you subscribe. I was thinking about it. I was like,
I need to Google that word. Yeah, tell me what I mean.
Yeah, I think it means I'm very skilled, bro. Or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I know what the word meant a long time ago, and it sounds good.
So it's my mouth. You're just using words you don't know
what it means. Yeah. A lot of people use words that they don't really know what it means. But then when you tell them what it means, I was like, yeah, Amanda. You know what I mean?
Cool vibes, cool vibes.
Let me get into the team. Now, the team on top of the table.
Right.
Still on top of the table.
Right.
Regardless of what people might say, you know, a team that is well known, respected, and admired.
Yeah.
Or as you might say, luscious. But let me get into it now. I mean, the most obvious thing is, you know, last episode we was planning like when to come back, like before the Manu game, after the Manu, and it's kind of like the games are just coming way too fast. So I was like, better we just sit down, see what's happening, and then come back after the game. So here we are, 4 games played, the season is in Full swing. Arsenal on top of the table, 15 points, 1 loss in 6 games. Impressive stuff. So let me begin with the earliest of the wins that we had against Bournemouth, a 3-0 win. Probably, I don't want to say our only clean sheet this season, but our second clean sheet this season. A very good win against Bournemouth. The double from Odegaard, the early double, and then that rocket.
But we didn't talk about this game already last podcast.
We was going into this game.
Somehow I remember us talking about that beautiful.
No. We talk about it personally. On the pod. I think around this time I was just being frustrated with my FPL boy. Right. I had Saka and Odegaard just pinging in the goals and that kind of thing. But first time we run out in the Pinkett too. Yeah, things are good.
I'm feeling that Pinkett now.
We thought about the game though. I think this was one of the last games before Partey went down with the injury.
Partey, I didn't feel that part, you know, to be honest.
Yo, I'll say that, but I saw a man post that was the last game before Partey went down with the injury.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a man post that Tierney and Partey are flops. Because of how many times they have been injured. But I feel like they're trying to redefine the term a flop, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, no matter what, whether they're available or not, you can't call them men flops. Because when they play, they really elevate the team.
Yeah, they still play better than men who fit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Is he kind of, we want to rush you back to the team as soon as you could play kind of level our footballers?
My take on that would be, like, Partey, is closer to a flop than Tierney, in my opinion. I feel like I've had it with Partey, to be honest. I rate the guy. I love the guy. You know what I mean? But he's just never fit. And that's a problem. And I think me being fed up of him is not really stems from his performances, but it more stems from the club's lack of bringing in reinforcement for him.
Right.
I think that's where my frustration is more than him itself. You know, so I don't think he wants to be injured. Nobody wants to be injured. But at the same time, it's frustrating knowing that once you injured, we have our performances dip from like a 8 to like a 5 sometimes though. Cause it depends on our position. Because I mean, against some smaller teams, Sam Bios do a good job. You know, smaller teams, Nene will do a good job. But when you bounce some of the bigger teams, we need a little extra quality in our way.
Right.
And we don't have it in the substitutes.
I feel like I get your point. I don't think that I had the point where I say like I have had it with party, because I mean injuries is injuries. I think that I am upset with, and I would have mentioned this at the end of last season, I'm upset with the man management, because they have no way you don't understand that, okay, this player injury prone.
Yeah.
Which means we had to take the extra step to protect them. Yes, we had to win games, but at the end of the day, especially shown with the running last season, you're not winning games with all the men.
Yeah.
So, that don't mean that it's better to say, let me save our 30 minutes at the end of a game and let some of the young fellas run.
That is what I was saying,
And so on, rather than, well, he going down and then you have to just throw a man in the deep end while we fighting for
I
something.
I said that as well. I find some coming onto the end of matches where players could get a little 10 minutes, a little 15 minutes, a little half an hour run. You're playing injury prone man for the whole 90, right? True.
My problem has been that, and I feel like Atata has not allowed the young players to play with party, especially Sambi. And well, I know Ainsley out of the club, right?
Yeah,
basically. But especially Sambi and Ainsley, I feel that those were two players that could learn from his game, model his game, and kind of not become Thomas Partey, but become to a level of good enough or a step down. But you know what I mean? Like, they have the potential to grow into that mold. And instead, is like, well, as long as Xhaka and Partey fit, that's the midfield pivot.
Yeah.
It have no bedding in. Like Xhaka does not sit down. Like, Xhaka plays 90 minutes without saying, let me run Sammy next to Partey to see if he could pick up and learn some of the rules, because Partey has shown to be real versatile in the sense that if he needed to sit deep and defend and play that, he could do that. But if he has somebody who could shield him, he's go forward. He's do well going forward, you know what I mean?
As you mentioned that, I don't think I've ever seen like a Sambi, Ainsley, Partey midfield. That would be nice to see.
That would be the creativity coming from.
All three of them creative though.
Not that creative.
I mean, I just
like I could see if our team plays a real good press against Partey, and just allow Ainsley and Sambi to be the ones making the passes into the final to their struggle. You know what I mean? Partey's the kind of man though, he could come out of press, and then once he out of the press and he leave, the rest of the field open up, you know, his pressure. But
yeah, he could pick a pass.
I could see that being problematic, but I don't disagree, because I think that Ainsley's a willing runner. I think we can real off how you chair.
You want to go there, bro?
How you chair? Let me talk about the game now. Odegaard did double.
Yeah.
Never mind that. Well, I think these few runner games here was really impressive with Gabriel. This was one of the goals Odegaard score.
When Jesus,
he take it off Jesus foot, boy. And I was like,
oh, the second goal.
Yeah, the second goal. And I was kind of like, bro, that's my points. This man just take my points. But no, I think when you look at our first goal that we scored against Bournemouth, and like Gabriel picking up the ball almost where
in the middle of the park,
and just beat everybody, and then later for Martinelli,
who missed, but he missed the keeper save.
Nah, keeper save, and then just for they got to pounce in, score it, and then. Brilliant player again from the team.
Inside the box. One thing I noticed about this season is we having a lot more touches inside the box, bro.
Yeah. We just need a man who just go in and hit it, boy. And so far that's been like the little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
The two men I know going and hit it are like Gabi and Gabi. But when you see that combination start with Odegaard and Saka, I just be like, bro, one of you all is a thousand pass for sure. Like, you had a hit, but you know what I mean? It's like them men and them wanna be the one to really create the open chance.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not going to get that open chance because men know they could pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's crazy, but good double. And then, well, Saliba had that left foot.
Boy, that's a beauty. Boy,
that goal was... that goal, I think everybody more or less celebrated that goal like Zinchenko, where he was just like,
yeah.
What?
Zinchenko was mind-blown, bro.
What? That man just on a leash into that top corner, boy. That was brilliant, boy. I'm good football, all in all, from beginning to the end. I don't really have any other thoughts on the game, and I feel like we played well. And it goes to show that even like a man like Saka playing decent enough football, just not to the upper echelon, like Martinelli and Odegaard and Gabi. I think they're playing like 8-9 out of 10 football, and Saka somewhere between the 6-7 range.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, of late he picking up form, Saka.
Yeah, well, I
start off slow though.
My mentality on Saka hasn't changed.
Playing too much.
He playing too much. He demand too much legs, but he leggy.
I mean, young enough, so he had the legs.
Yeah, but he young, but I don't mean the man must run. That man play
every almost game last season.
He play every game last season first. Pin kicked every game last season first. Then went and playing the World Cup. Like this man not getting like 12 months of the year, and the man probably playing like, well, 40 days of no football. Yeah, son, because obviously considering he training, the man getting no rest. And Atata is watching him like, hey, yeah, life.
come on.
And that crazy, but like he need to get him on. Like, I wouldn't be surprised when we play this week, I think it's Zurich or something in Europa League. I honestly would not be surprised if Saka plays that game.
Like, I need to sit down.
So he needs to sit there.
I don't know if you want to talk about Zurich just yet, but I want to see a whole B team for that side.
Yeah, definitely.
Not saying that it will be a big drop in quality. I feel like the B team, we have actually an okay B team right now. So I want to see people like Smith-Rowe on the left. I want to see Marquinhos on the right.
Yeah,
I
want to
see Vieira in the middle.
And Ketia on top.
Yeah. I want to see those players.
Yeah,
Sam B need to play again.
Some B way.
Yeah,
I think you could see Marquinhos, Eddie.
I want the Tierney left back.
Will you say on the left side?
Some Smith-Rowe.
Smith-Rowe, okay.
Yeah, I want my Tierney left back and Tomiyasu right back.
Take care, end up with like a Fabio Vieira and one of the wings and an Emil playing like the Odegaard.
Well, recently, the last match, on his debut, he played in Odegaard position.
So we can see how it goes. But we have a test, I think, for like the young fellas. I mean, I think remember to the squad real limited, because when you say Sambi and Smith-Rowe in the mid, all the other midfielders injured.
No, Sambi had a sweat.
So El Nene injured.
Can I have no choice?
Party
then?
Injured.
No, this fella here, the youth man, what's his name?
Ooh, Connor Smith.
No, boy, what is his name? Let me check
the blonde youth man.
No, he gone.
No, Fabio, you talking
about. No, boy, this next youth man, boy, he leave her.
Who's that, boy?
Good. I can't remember his name, boy, a midfielder.
You from, we buy him?
From the academy.
No, Nelson, you talking about?
No, Nelson. I sent him in. He got loaned out. I can't remember if he got loaned out.
Yeah, I think we loan a lot of players, man. Let me see if I could tell you. Because I know Ainsley going on alone.
Yeah.
As well. I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, Aziz on loan.
Is he still talking about?
On loan.
Is Aziz as...
No, Salah Ulad.
Nah, it's not Aziz as talking about. It's the next one. Yes, Putino
going on.
Yeah, he gone Blackpool.
The
midfield we shorten.
The midfielders, Granit, Eleni, Partey, Odegaard, Sambi, Matthew Smith, not Connor Smith, and Fabio Vieira, basically. Boy. So, out of that.
The midfielder had 10, boy.
So, one of the players who play in the mid, going on to play, most likely Xhaka.
But Xhaka and Lokonga play again.
Yeah, Xhaka, Lokonga, and then we go rotate otherwise. Anyway, you can add ourselves again. let me talk about Fulham now. What do you thought about that game? I have a few thoughts.
The Fulham match?
Yeah, the Fulham match. I think, so, I'm glad we're on Zurich, right? Because I think Gabriel Magalhães should play in that game. Mainly because...
You want to drop him?
I want to drop him from the main team.
Yeah, he's making errors. He's good, but he's making errors. So, but who will play the left center?
I think Saliba would slide across and play that, and Ben White. Because Ben White already playing right back here, your other kind of right back position, you could play Saliba or you could play Tomiyasu, depending on where you want. But I think if Tomiyasu comes in, he's got to play right back.
I want Tomiyasu back on the right back, dog.
Yeah, so
Ben
so
White ain't doing bad, you know. He's doing pretty good at the right back.
He's doing well. I just think the problem that he's facing is that he's always end up being last man when the when we attack breakdown and then we get hit on the counter. He's just end up being the last man. The man trying to do the last ditch tackle and then end up on the ground. I feel bad for him, boy. But now he's doing well. I mean, obviously the biggest problem is he not giving you that attacking threat constantly as a right back. You getting it?
Yeah, sometimes.
But not often.
Yeah, and then and not just with the not often, but the quality, I mean,
like, there's only one game where he did, like, real good, and that was against Bournemouth on the attacking side, you know? So, anyway, I brought up Gabi and Magalhães. Oh my God, you can't even say Gabi no more, but, no, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is, it's like Martinelli, Sousa, and Gabriel.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right? Yeah. So, that man make a real big mistake in that game, but for Fulham to go ahead. And
but I Saka fault.
So here's what I seen, right? And Saka did put a hell ball, right? But Gabriel had about 3 to 4 touches.
Yeah, he had 3 touches before he loses.
So if it's a hell ball, I think he too cocky in that situation, yeah, where he feel like he had Mitrovic. You see when you try to shield Mitrovic and Mitrovic, they just give me that
Mitrovic difference.
And go on and it's like you play yourself like you could be how vexed you want to be attacker for that pass. You had real opportunities to control, turn around, go back to Ramsdale.
Yep. So, yes, so after Saka made that Zidane pass, to untouch, two touch, three touch before he passed off that ball.
Yeah,
because he had time. He didn't have options and he didn't want to clear it.
He needed to clear it. Because
but he needed to clear it.
Is that right? Because to me, I felt like I had to get a bad touch. You bring it down. You bring You take the second touch. No passes on. Yeah, I don't need to turn around and go back to Ramsdale or clear the ball.
Yeah.
Because Mitrovic is not a striker to be playing against
him. Boy.
Because he's thirsty, he big, he's strong. You get, and yeah, he get absolutely bullied off the ball. he look clownish. You understand? And it was like, yo, we are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's a bad pass, but okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be like, hey, that's a bad pass. Unless it is somebody get a bad pass and somebody literally take the ball off your foot while you're waiting to receive the pass,
yeah,
you could blame that man. But you had the ball under control and you could make a more responsible decision instead of thinking you is prime, Maldini.
Yeah.
Or use prime Kevin De Bruyne any back where you could just control the ball and, you know what I mean, guess that's not you. That's not who you are. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, we get back into the goal.
He went for me. He scored the winner.
He scored the winner. So it's almost like also given you make the mistake and you come back and you score. I mean, but good stuff all around. I thought that Leno come out to prove that I thought Leno come out to prove that we probably shouldn't sell him. But as I said, boy, pong for pong, shot stopping.
Well, yeah, he's a boss.
He's our boss.
And the only discussed this on the podcast.
Like fed up. Because
Leno versus Ramsdale.
Yes, because you were Ramsdale for the better distribution, but when it comes to saving, give me Leno, boy. I just, because at the end of the day, you could kind of mitigate a little bit that playing out of the back. But when it comes to superior shot stopping, but I'm not saying, as I said before, also, I have a problem with Ramsey because I feel like you get a little step down from the shot stopping, but you get the all round goalkeeping better.
Yeah.
Because first, the beat Leno in that game and took a deflection, right? And then it took Akona with him being absolutely poor on those.
Yeah, but that's one of his downfalls.
So his downfalls is he couldn't pass. He wasn't communicating with the backline. And he not getting the air.
Yeah.
So Ramsdale have him one up on all those situations.
Yeah.
But when that man be end up on your goal, either just many times I'd be like Ramsdale game. Be one of Anthony didn't think so.
Bro, that was different, bro. That's our setup.
I played.
I see Ramsdale save at least 6.5 out of 10 1v1s so far. Right now, this season, I want to big up Ramsdale because I feel like his kicking improve.
Yeah.
Man, finding men are real good, right?
I do.
His kicking improve and his 1v1 looks really, really good.
I think that the reason why I would...
His control of his area improve as well.
Yeah.
Even in the man, you give him the wiggle lixen.
Yeah, I think... I think I prefer Leno because Leno is giving those saves that you do expect to be saved. This is my personal preference. I'm not saying Arsenal make the right decision or the wrong decision. In fact, I still think we make the right decision.
I just saying that
boy, and I'm on being down on your goal, Leno just pull out some stops. But that you know, here nor there. But once again, a good game as well. It was unfortunate that we had to get scored on in this game because Fulham was not in it at all.
Fulham really, they really test us too.
They really tested. They really tested us.
And desire and that kind of stuff.
But trust me, if it was a different keeper and that goal with that leader stadium 4-5, man, I'm telling you. Because some of them shots we take, Leno just had a piece of our game. So we can move on to the Villa. Third game we play, Villa.
Yeah, but even in that Villa game, dog, I find like teams real running out to Weboy, like the real pressure in Weboy.
Well, I mean, by the time we came to this Villa game, you realize we was 4-4, 4 wins in 4.
Yeah.
And the Fulham game we was 3-3. Men want to take it from me, you understand? And, yo, I did not get to see this game, but I just love to see Emi Martinez looking kind of foolish. a big keeper for sure, nah, but anyway. But look at that. I mean, Martinelli taking his shot and he flubbing it straight into the part. Is Gabi scoring or was other guy scoring? Gabi is who scored the first one, and then Martinelli scoring. That
Martinelli scored before the corner or after?
No. He scored after the corner. After they basically foul Ramsdale from the back, but the camera angle can see
man
it.
So they say it wasn't. The man hogging up my keeper, and the fact that the referee went over and still gave that goal baffles me.
Yeah, but I was watching over the VAR camera, and from the VAR camera, you can't see nothing wrong. But apparently, VAR need to realize they need more than one camera angle.
Yes, I find it a show. That's crazy. One camera angle right through when it is the referees go to the screen.
That's crazy. That's really some crazy stuff. But now, it is what it is. I'm not fighting down the referee decisions because it is what it is, boy. But yeah, Martinelli scored.
Now we deserve that goal.
I think we deserve to win as always. But I think Emi had a real big game. But you see that shot he saved as well when Martinelli take that, like your shoulder going in, boy, and yeah. Emi just
the volley.
Yeah, the one he kind of just run off at like a fingertip save, boy.
Yeah, that volley was
as insane stuff. I mean, I don't really have much thoughts on the Villa game.
Again, the Villa game similar to the Fulham. I find like these teams are real trying to match us for intensity, boy.
But you have to.
That's crazy.
If you don't match Arsenal for intensity,
too,
if you don't match Arsenal for intensity, you're going on get beat real bad. you had to impose yourself, and you had to run at us, and I think that was the plus that Manchester United came in the game with. Now, I know I wanted to say I like to see Emi embarrass yourself. I just love when Gabby take that shot and he save it and he try to flappy hands to get it second time.
Oh yeah, when you get back up.
Yeah. Right, that was good. But if we could go into the Man U game, because I mean, it really easy. I would say it really easy to run past the wins because, I mean, it's great stuff. But
yeah,
it's like you had to dissect the losses a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you think it's how much to dissect in this game?
Man U game? Well, definitely. Because also, I had a concert to sing at on Sunday afternoon, so I was unable to watch the game live. So people who getting used to seeing my live match reactions, they miss it. I actually supposed to do a video now today to just explain what I think about the match, right? Arsenal and Manchester United have history, right? Real history. And Trinidad has a lot of Manchester supporters because of Dwight York.
Yeah.
Right?
Shout out the big dog, Dwight York.
Shout out the big dog, Dwight York. However, me being an Arsenal fan, I really, if it's about a team that I really don't like, I would say it had to be them, you know. Apart from Tottenham, it had to be Man U. Because at that game where they broke out undefeated streak,
yeah.
On top of the, but that game was just, I don't even know why. I don't want to sound too salty, but I find like it had a real plenty of fouls in that game and thing that we didn't get.
This one?
No, when they break the undefeated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I feel like the, well, it was
same
a real
thing with this
game.
One too.
You understand?
Same thing with this one too.
It's where by the ref for that undefeated streak. And yeah. Man, you have a knack for always beating me in the theater dreams.
Yeah.
We could never go to the Trafford and win back.
That's what I said last podcast. Like, I just want to have like a real good win at Old Trafford, boy.
And yeah, I enjoy that, you know.
Nah, that good, man.
To be fair, we did get one, but the stadium was empty, so I don't count on that.
Yeah. And yeah, I wanna get one with, because I was watching the game. I was watching it on like a bigger TV screen than I usually watch it on. And I was like, boy, this stadium just massive, boy.
And no, it's the design. So just,
yeah, the design.
Stadium,
yeah.
The stadium very compact. So around the pitch, just a sea of red, dog.
Yeah. And I think it's
the
I think
fans,
it's
the fans has literally refereed the game, dog.
Yeah.
Every time a man you play a go down or some situation happen where it's time for the referee,
yeah.
The whole stadium just put pressure on the referee, dog. Bro. Everybody. And this little imps the put, sorry, time referee the game, he taking that pressure, dog.
Bro, so like, I was watching this game, and I think that, I've said my brethren before, that the most important thing in this game, it was going to be the midfield. Because I thought Casemiro might have played, but just the Eriksen-Fernandez dynamic was going to be really important. And the fact that we was missing Partey was also a real important part of the fixture. And I felt like whoever could expose the other's midfield would be victorious. And on two of the goals, in fact, all the goals they scored, our midfield was exposed.
Yeah.
And that's how the game was won. From the time the midfield itself fall apart, that was it. Because both teams have players that if found deep could just pray to Martinelli, to Saka, and the same thing with their team, they had Rashford, Anthony and Sancho. So it's like from the time that midfield open and those passes are on, you could have the fastest, most skilled centre back, them men faster and them men more skilled, and your centre backs backpedaling. Yeah. The same thing with us. So I feel like the fact that we didn't have our best midfield, I wasn't expecting like domination. I'd love for us to win, but I wasn't expecting us to dominate. Yeah. I was expecting us to try to go there and get something. But unfortunately, I felt like the referee was real slow with his cards.
Yeah,
Varane was being absolutely ridiculous with Gabriel Jesus. The amount of holding and pulling and tugging and thing before the man got yellow, it was insane, boy. And to me, the day you look back at that game, this referee didn't call much cards at all, and this game had real fouls. I watch any game and I see Scott McTominay literally lift up a man and suplexing us,
yeah, and he ain't got nothing,
and the man just walk away. And I was like, what really going on? And somebody was like, somebody in one of my groups was like, yeah, it's a big man game. I was like, bro. In my head, I was like,
man game, then we feel nah, supposed to start.
I know, and I just, he was being kicks. He was being funny. I believe he was being funny, but I just laughed it off in my head. Because I was like, bro, this is insane. But like, the amount of physicality they impose on the game, and they matched our intensity, and well, obviously,
I actually have a different opinion to that, because I don't think they match our intensity.
I think they match our intensity in the counter-attack. Like, when it was time for them to run at us.
They mean they beat it?
Yeah. When it was time for them to say, let me run at them, they ran at us well. And I felt like, I mean, I don't want to give nobody no props there, but the Anthony fella had a real good debut.
He had to get on the props. So, what I want to say is, like, the first 20 minutes of the game, Manchester United was on top, right? Manchester United, they play all over us, to be quite honest. Right? We look like children in the playground, and the older kids had the ball and they're keeping it from me.
Yeah.
That's how we look in the first 20 minutes. And after we countered and scored, they disallowed that goal. The whole, I don't know, like,
that goal. The disallowed goal, should not have been disallowed.
Yeah. That after we scored that disallowed goal, it's switch, and then us, and then the football become kind of scrappy, a real kind of midfield battle for a good while, and that trend kind of follow for the next 10 minutes or so, yeah. and then coming on to the dines of the first half, it was like, man, you had a good spell, we had a good spell, man, it was real 50-50.
Yeah.
However, coming out in the second half, it was all Arsenal.
Yeah.
All Arsenal. As much as I seen it was all Arsenal, I also want to add that Manu was very intelligent in for terms sure. of how they play. So they absorbed the pressure, hit us on the counter. You had to call it a tactical masterclass. As yeah, much as I feel they had a little bit of luck too, you had to say the tactics was spot on from Eric.
I think at the end of the day to Manchester United, it was just more clinical, boy.
Very much so.
Because when you look at the stats and the touches in the box and opponent third entries and all these kind of stats mm-hmm. that's pulling out during the game, like, Arsenal was dominating, but Manchester United was finding a way to make it not matter, to make it not count. And I felt like they also did a good job in not allowing Gabi Jesus to be too involved in the game. Yeah. Like he usually is. And to me, my problem with the team now is that once you focus on a player to take a player out,
mm-hmm.
somebody else had the opportunity.
Yeah.
And to me, that man was Saka.
Yeah.
And Saka had a good few moments against Malaysia.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why, if you're getting joy somewhere, you wouldn't try to overdo it.
Yeah,
and so much of our football just...
Fella. Saka... Hey, Saka rose that boy. Inline. Yeah, left back? Did you think I'm left back?
Yeah, and to me, my problem was like, so much of our football this season has been going down that left side. That Martinelli, Odegaard, Gabi Jesus. And it have a way to try and figure out how to get down the right.
You down the right is no Tomiyasu, bro.
Yeah, I understand.
That's how to fix, bro. Next game, that's how to fix.
But the thing is,
I'm not knocking Ben White, but that had a fix, though.
The thing about it is, you had to find a way. And at the end of the day, Saka was... This is one of the first times I see Saka deal with somebody season. One-on-one. Like, because he do... Saka do be hitting, no... Man. Saka do be hitting nobody, no leftovers and span and thing. It's just
feints
and peace. And I feel like we should have tried to take advantage of what we had.
Another thing, we didn't.
And Manchester United did. But, I mean... At the same time, Manchester United fans had to take it on a little bit. Like, I don't... Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Arsenal fans was like, we belong on top of the table, this we here. Yeah. Like, almost everybody I know that's Arsenal fan, real pessimistic. They're like, wait, it's going good. Let me see if they could continue to keep it going good. Well, that's the majority.
I'm enjoying my moment.
Enjoy the moment.
And I was always cautious of this match because...
Yeah. I was cautious from before 2D. We all lost the first two games. I just know them needed that statement.
Is the deadline day? Is the deadline day? The signings are the bringing.
Yeah, the deadline day.
If they didn't have that man to buy in the deadline day, they would never score.
True. Yeah. But I think they needed a statement win. And Liverpool was a statement win, but everybody could have been like, that's a one-off.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, yeah, we showing all that we could do it, you know. Eh?
You could have followed it up and to follow up the Liverpool win. So, but
it's four wins on each other now.
Yeah. I honestly believe that Manchester United will, same thing will happen to them. They're playing better football on Eric right now, but this season is not them season. I feel like next season they will be a lot better. This season, they will beat the big six and they will lose against the small teams.
For sure, because
that counter-attacking thing not going to work when they make one pack up with the bus.
For sure. And the thing about it, too, at the end of the day, is that you were saying when they were kind of running the game, their team not built to run the game.
Yeah, but that's how we punish them.
Yeah. It's only when we start to impose our football on them
vulnerable.
That when they were able to release on, well, destroy. But, I mean, a good game all in all. I honestly, the scoreline really flattered them. But
I wouldn't say that, you know. I wouldn't say that.
No, this game was a good 2-1 win for me. I don't think they necessarily had to get out to goal, and I think Arteta with them three subs and the change and the formation and how they was gonna play just get them a good opportunity to go ahead and score
open,
the two.
The midfield was open.
Yeah.
The many wasn't tracking the runners. That last goal they score.
Yeah.
Was because Eriksen make a run from the midfield and nobody track him. I watching the stats here and all, right? Man, you make 13 fouls to win 9. And them are the same, amount of cards as us, man.
There was insane. Man, you make more than 13 fouls when you get called for 13. That way, correct. You have to see.
You understand? Man, you make 24 clearances in this match. So it's to say, one, it just showed that we had them under pressure.
We did.
And two, they stand up to the test.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand? So they get credit where credit is due.
I give them the credit. I don't know issues. The only issue I have is, men was talking real greasy way.
Now my money fans friends, they actually pretty cool. The same
by my timeline, like men, I get tagged from my Chelsea man. I get tagged in three but separate posts. Like I get tagged in three. I was like, you looking for friends? No, but like you tagging me. I was like, it's 6 games this season. Like it's Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
No team unless it's Manchester City.
Yeah.
Flying like we flying with all that come down. And at the end of the day, they say what they want. I think most Arsenal fans was expecting that come down, especially given the fact that we do have party in the team.
Yeah.
More than anything, just given that party in the team, yeah. Most fans without, expecting that come down.
If party was playing, I would have been very confident.
We'd have beat them.
If
we didn't beat them, we might have just drew the game.
We're always beating them if party was in the team, though.
If we did not beat them, which I believe we'd have beat them well with party in the team, we'd have just drawn the game.
What I want to say, too, as a disclaimer, is not, if me saying that we'd have beat them if party was in the team, is not me discrediting the men. I feel like the men did well against
us. They play good.
But one thing I could also say is that we also play good. Like,
we
used to go there and capitulate. Capitulate nothing.
I think we was in the game full 90 minutes, yeah. Regardless of.
Yeah.
Let me talk about the goals because we haven't, right? Let me talk about the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel Martinelli scoring and the disgrace that VAR is.
Well, here they're going on, eh? Right?
Mm.
Two things I have to say. This season in the Prem, they actually even more lenient than last season where physicality in the Premier League is concerned, right? So a lot of things that would have been called even 2 seasons ago, even last season, they're not calling it anymore. That's
right.
1. 2, VAR is there to overturn clear and obvious decisions, right? That's the second point.
Yeah.
So for me, if I want to talk about consistency, not even in games before, but I would say in games before and in this game, a lot of those soft tackles that was putting on Bruno Eriksen, sorry.
Yeah.
That was not considered fouls. Even in this game itself, it had other tackles similar to that wasn't considered fouls.
Mm.
In a sense, I find it convenient that because we bagged them, it's a foul. And then it happened so many times after that, even to our players, and a foul wasn't given.
You
understand? So this, again, this is not me saying making excuses here, but this is what the reality is. The fighting with the
defense. That overturn decision was a fast way. Because I think two things. One, to me, that is a foul, but call it. If you don't call it, we playing ball. You understand what I'm saying?
Call it, referee didn't play advantage, nothing.
Exactly. Mm. He didn't call it, he didn't say advantage. To me, it looked like if Odegaard tried to tackle him, man, run into the back of him, the legs touch up, Eriksen fall, we get the ball, we spray and go. Right? And to come back now, alright, cool. Let me say it's our fault, right? You can say it's our fault, I wouldn't argue it's our fault, right? But to come back and say the referee make a clear and obvious error, and then the referee looking at it on the screen and saying, yeah, boy, that, this was a clear and obvious error.
The 12th man put pressure on him, though.
That was ridiculous, boy. That is absolutely embarrassing, boy. Because, one, Arsenal game changed, and we were playing well, and that would have emboldened us. And therefore, now that our goal get overturned, it could change the mentality of our man. He was going to approach the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went on and scored. And I have an issue with that. Like, that is not something to use our video assistant referee to turn over our goal for. I can't see that in a million years.
The inconsistencies, because even with the fall on Ramsdale, I wasn't given for the goal in the Villa game.
Yeah.
You understand? That was more contact than what happened with Odegaard and Eriksen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't given. And that was inside the box. And a goal was involved. And they allow it.
That's crazy, boy. I just wanted to...
The inconsistencies for me.
Something had to... If you're saying you're using VAR to correct clear and obvious errors, use it to correct that mad tackle Van Dijk put on that fella when he was playing Everton. You understand? Studs up on our mansion. That is a clear and obvious error. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's half clear and obvious errors that men just don't want to overturn to favor teams. I don't even know if I'm being ridiculous by saying that.
We're writing match fixing and things still happening though.
But I mean, it's that just, boy. And then, well, obviously, I'm moving on from that. We could talk about the goal Man U scored. And this is why I mentioned Gabby coming out of the team. That is craziness for that goal, boy. You see that tackle, he come to hit Bruno. That miss. And literally just open we midfield, open we backline. Cause Zinchenko to have to... But what I meant was, it opened for that pass. Because when Bruno come out of that tackle, and he was able to spring it to Rashford. And now Zinchenko had a drop in to leave Anthony open. If Martinelli had just... Remember Martinelli? See, again, confused with the Gabriels. If Gabriel Magalhaes had just said, I'm not going to make that tackle. I'm going to drop off. Zinchenko could still hold tight to his man. Saliba now could come out to Rashford. He could fall back into the space.
Because Saliba quick.
Gabby could fall back into the space. But you make that tackle, you pull yourself out of the play, and you make less men. You put less men in the back line. We must get back. That is a horrendous mistake, boy.
He making a lot of mistakes recently, and because of that, I know Arteta like to stick with men. But he also like to be ruthless as well, and I feel a bit of ruthlessness need to come in.
My problem with Arteta's ruthlessness is that his ruthlessness is the kind of ruthlessness that says, well, you're not coming back in the team. Because when Arteta dropped you dropped it. it really had to make it back into the squad when he dropped it. But, I felt like that shows that Gabriel needs to play with a real proper shield in front of him. And if he can't have a shield in front of him, he could become a liability.
I'm watching the goal here, right? I think it had two ways that could go. Right? Is the midfield fault? Because what happened was,
I know
Rashford make a run, and Saliba had to go with Rashford. If Saliba don't go with Rashford, he would be onside because they have nobody pressure any midfielder who going and play the pass to Rashford.
No, Emma.
So everybody's supposed to drop off, right? Because that's what Wenger teach me that long time. He said, no pressure on the ball, back off. If you have pressure on the ball, then he could step up as a defensive liner. So in that situation, both Mangalias and Saliba are supposed to back off. So Saliba did the right thing, right? Mangalias, however, made the wrong decision and stepped into him,
right,
and left Saliba isolated,
right?
Right. Mm. However, the main problem start from the midfield being bypassed too easily.
But I mean, so you realize, you realize that I ain't started that midfield yet. Because as I would say, yes, the midfield create the problem, but Gabriel was supposed to drop off
because he had no pressure on the ball. So he wasn't supposed to go to try to apply
pressure. He should have allowed Bruno to make whatever run he wanted. Yeah, let him run. And then when he run into the part where he had to try and make a pass, you could know where everybody block off. Mm-hmm. Maybe you come and you make the tackle.
Because if he back off,
Bruno options was to go to the wing backs, basically, or go backwards.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm really watching it here. And
so, but I mean, and I'm not going on talk too much about him.
It would have leave Ben White on a 2v1 if you leave him to run. But 2v1 with Ben White is still them wide.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of that decision he made, he let them come through the center.
He let them come in the middle. Yeah, exactly that. Because Zinchenko, is either Zinchenko say Saliba can handle Rashford.
Zinchenko also needed to trust Saliba.
Yeah, but the thing is, if he didn't come there, Rashford would have had Bruno just running in on goal. Zinchenko had to jump, you know. I mean,
nah, he didn't have
either way you take it,
he didn't have to. I think Tierney would not have committed either. To be honest,
but I think either way you take it, a clear cut chance would have been created. Probably not as clear as that one, Anthony Gay. But I feel just by Gabriel making that tackle,
yeah,
a clear cut chance was created. It's a bunch
of triggers. So, and if you want to say like you cast blame, you would say Sambi first blame. Get Magalhaes, second blame, Zinchenko, third blame.
Alright, cool. Yeah. So, let me move on now. Well, we score. I don't remember much about the goal other than Ariel screaming again when we scored.
I couldn't react properly because I didn't see it live, boy. When you it's never really get the same feeling.
Yeah, boy, for sure. For replay, but yeah. When, I think, Gabi had run through and I thought I save and then I just rebound to Saka and he scored.
Some so.
Yeah, simple tapping like that.
I seen some jokes here.
Some nice football.
Yeah, some jokes here. And who it is? Jesus make a run. Yeah. And Odegaard slip him in. Is that a turnover?
Yeah.
They rotate the ball. Jesus make a run. Odegaard slip him in. It got deflection or bubble up or something. And then fall kindly.
Consider the fact that that would be Arsenal 2-1 up. Eh? But anyway. I don't really want to touch on that because I think the next goal that they scored, Sambi was caught on the ball, right? Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he get caught on the ball, he lost it. Rashford with some nice passing from Eriksen.
That true ball?
That was good.
Straight out of FIFA, you know, dog.
Yeah, that kind of R1X pass or the R1 triangle pass. Yeah, so they're hard on in front and them giving to. Here's what I see, right? I hear men saying, like, Sambi not ready. He not ready to accept the rule, the responsibility. But we ended up back in the same problem with Sambi cannot play with Granit Xhaka. And as I said to people before, this encompasses the two goals for me.
Mm-hmm.
Partey is not our Lord and Savior, but he does cover a multitude of sins, boy.
Yeah.
Sambi's not our man. And the thing about it is, with Partey in the team, we could afford to have Xhaka up the field as much as he want to, because I believe Partey know how to read the game, know how to tackle, know how to drop. I mean, the man on a defensive midfield level is amazing.
Yeah.
That is not Sambi Lokonga.
Sambi is a number 8. He's not a 6.
Good. And the thing about it is, Xhaka could either play deep or he could play high. He cannot play box to box. And the thing about it is, Sambi is a box to box, more of a box to box player. But the thing I keep saying the thing about it, but when Xhaka high and Sambi have no options, Xhaka not getting back. And that is when Sambi had a play, or anybody other than Partey had a play in that midfield, we need our more mobile center mid PN in that pivot. Because you're putting too much on Sambi there.
I tell you this, because bro, it's been about 4 years now, I say, and we need somebody more mobile.
But that's why I'm not talking about midfield, because I don't think. We begging here on this podcast, but at a time, anyway. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, Xhaka plays ball, but Xhaka does kill Arsenal off the ball a lot. Mm. And I do understand. Whatever it is, people do see Xhaka giving us in the final third. I know it's not goals, I know it's not assists. You understand? I know whatever it is he giving me, not worth the entire midfield being open by.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because it's not as though Atata does say, okay, well, you realize Partey not here, so the guy had to play deeper now. You understand?
He tried already. We get Pong.
And so, we get, so it not, it, I mean, it's it not working. And is that different? It's just that Xhaka had to play. I don't know, but the man just need to not play as far as I can see. I feel like he does allow for us because he do have the ability to drop.
In when this he game, up. He was a passenger. So here we're going against some small team, you can play Xhaka and Zinchenko. Against teams like Manu, where they had these
bro, and
these horse and them, these stallion and them who just run. I want somebody mobile in my midfield, and I want Tierney back on my left back.
But I want to just see Atieni Zinchenko kind of left-sided, left-back, left-center.
I like that. I like Zinchenko left-center and Tierney left-back. I like that. But I'm watching Zinchenko. I'm watching him. He's a little playful, you know.
Nah,
he makes some risky passes.
He good, but he not make for that left-back rule permanently, boy. And
he
I
can
feel,
play the left back against small teams, but not
but
against
the I tell teams. You, I feel when push comes to shove and all men fit, you see that team, he left back, Partey, Zinchenko, Odegaard, tree?
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see.
I feel that crazy. Right back. Yeah, for sure. I feel that crazy, but I feel that team going to be real hard to beat, pass through, and press through. You understand what I'm saying?
Because right now, I feel Zinchenko pushing Tini. I find like the last game Tini play. The game he played before, he looked a little shaky. But he, see that last game he played? Did you feel like him? Was he feel like him?
Yeah.
I find he looked real good, Tini.
So, well, I mean, it's just to be back, it's back to fitness.
I find that bugger look good, boy.
But I think, and that's the disappointing thing. I guess we could kind of touch on chance a little bit. The disappointing thing is that the men watch our midfield and say, yeah, this is good. I saw a man just saying, by anybody other than Xhaka. I would prefer sit down and watch Sambi Lokonga and Ainsley Maitland-Niles play midfield than watch Xhaka in my midfield. Because if
Niles could play six.
Because me thing about it is, I could clearly sit down and say, by Niles not up to today. Or I could say, nah, Ainsley up for it today. He played good today. But it's every game, you could find a flaw, you could find a way in which Partey now. Xhaka hurting me. In every game you could sit, even when we playing well, I'd just be like, Xhaka be feeling now. So that means when they're going, I look to, if they get the ball here, and they could just spray up a straight through the midfield. Anything, and well, Partey had those long strides that he could recover and block passes.
And he's and interceptions.
But the man, oof. Partey, yes, but boy,
he's the glue.
I'm real upset, boy, because, I mean, I be only, you know, they say I have five stages of anger, boy.
Well, I reach. Towards grief.
Nah, I reach acceptance, boy. I between grief and acceptance, boy. I just had to accept that this way it is, and the team and the manager happy with the trade off. I need somebody to sit down with numbers and reasoning to explain to me how Granit Xhaka is a plus to the team. Because I think that you could show me a plus and I could show you 10 negatives. And 1 but from 10 is minus 9.
I can't be bashing Xhaka for the last 10 minutes. I want to talk about the man who I want to see start in my midfield, which is Fabio Vieira, dog.
Yeah, but for Fabio to start...
The man, come on, dog. This cameo and look real good,
and,
dog.
And take this wild shot.
What wild shot? Wild shot? Nothing. A man say. I think it's Babs. Babs say, he say, Fabio, come on for 15 minutes and take more shots than Odegaard for the whole two games.
Yeah, but. That's why Odegaard do shoot because of much he scored.
Bro. But what Fabio looking nah, to Fabio looking, you see that ball he put for Martinelli had that right back skating.
Fabio look good. I could see how we'll enrich Fabio playing that Xhaka role too.
No, me too.
I just won't see anybody in that Xhaka role, but no. Anybody.
When FIFA come out, dog, my midfield gonna be party.
Well, I don't play that game.
Party?
That game can't be with my money.
Vieira, I don't think that's gonna be my midfield.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway. Hell yeah, delusions are grand though. I think we finished it for now.
Yeah, we done there. Podcast done.
I mean, we have Zurich coming up. I hope we get the full rotation.
I think
I will see Marquinhos for this game.
I wanna see Marquinhos, yeah.
I will see Fabio for this game. Mm-hmm. And then we have Everton, Brentford and PSV coming up as well in the next 2 weeks. And then after that, I think it's Tottenham. Yep. Everton, Brentford, and then Tottenham in the league. Saturday, the 1st October. You know, it's our big line for that game.
7:30 in the morning, boy.
Never too little.
Are we watching that game?
I know it.
We talk about this after the podcast.
Yeah, you're watching that game somewhere. I want to watch that game. It had to be better than the last time you watched Tottenham play.
Yeah,
boy. The last time we went to Tottenham play was this one.
When you get Pong.
Yeah, when you get beat up Pong, I felt like the referee. That was when Rob Geddy reddened.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that. That is negative energies. But anyway, so, I mean, we should be, the podcast would be back definitely before the Tottenham game because we have a international break, I think, in between there. So, I'll be interested. The next 2 weeks will be interesting.
Yeah.
But I think Arsenal could just pick up right where they left off, especially in the league. It's Everton and Brentford. Two tests we could overcome for certain. Yeah. And get 6 points. And sit down with 21 points from 8. And 21 points from 8, yeah, good. Say whatever you want. Whenever we reach, anyway. We go talk more on that later on. I don't want to get ahead of myself because it's really easy to.
Yeah.
But Arsenal is a team, I believe this season, will beat the teams that have to.
Yeah.
They just had to pull out wins against teams that ain't expecting we to pull out wins against. Yeah, I mean, you're Tottenham. I mean, I expecting us to pull out wins against them. But I mean, you're talking Tottenham.
Yeah.
You're talking Liverpool game. You're talking Chelsea games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll pull your
wins
out. Yes, they
get results against those teams. But I feel like the teams we're supposed to beat, we'll beat.
I think the teams we're supposed to beat, we have to beat. We will beat them, but we have to beat them. And I feel like we're putting ourselves in a real good position for our second, third position.
Mm-hmm.
And the aim, I think, have to be the season, finishing second or third in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And if the opportunity is there to go for the title, you go for it, you know? But I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I know we done suffering injuries already.
I'm not even bringing up the word title until...
No, I just say... For me, it's just like...
March, so...
You see, like, we had the opportunity to go for fourth last season, and we didn't. If you had the opportunity to go for it, at the end of the day, you don't want to talk about title, but to go for a title, you had to start from now.
Yeah.
You understand? And say where you want, 5 from 5, 5 and 6. Yeah. I mean, that title form, brother. Regardless how anybody could fall off. We could fall off for sure. But yeah, we on title form. And if we go with 8 games with 21 points, bro, and then we go up against Tottenham, and if we take 3 points against Tottenham, 24 points from 9 games, right?
Yeah.
We going to have to tell people, don't tell me nothing about no title. We going to have to say, nah, it can't.
Yeah, but because last season we started off the season on a relegation form and we came in just shy of fourth.
Yeah.
And we started off this season on title winning form.
I mean, look at even teams like City. Like City have a draw in the back, 2 draws in the back already. against Villa, who we beat. So it's not
and that's a loss for the season still. So
yeah, well, there's a lot to lose. What I just seen now is that it's tight for sure, but I hit on myself. I hit on myself for sure. But I mean,
yeah, like we talk about this in
the
match.
We just had to win the games we had to win. That's all I have to say.
Yeah,
I did not keep it there. Anything else here on that before we?
Nah, I good there. I just want to see the full rotation for the game that coming up. On
yeah,
Thursday.
I believe we go. I believe that gonna be our home game or away, boy.
Let me check.
I think we could be
away
for so that one. Yeah, yes, always end up away. Yeah, well, rotation because you know it is. Anyway, we're gonna leave it here because we right at about our hour, no? So we, as always, wanna thank you all for listening, joining in with us, and make sure to like the podcast, share the podcast, and you know you can check us out on our new website is GunaPodTT on Podium. And other than that, I want to thank you all for listening, as always. And this has been GunaPodTT. Boom!
Thank you for listening to this episode of GunaPodTT.